Let's see how smart you are. All right. Who can tell me 2 weeks ago what were those two words that we focused on or kind of we titled our message, that very first message in the Gospel of John? Jesus is what? He's light and life. Yes, British man. He is light and life. Okay, he's light and life. And then on that Sunday afternoon, we talked about two words. What were those two words? Oh, an Australian man. Okay, very good. He is grace and truth. Very good. And then this morning, we talked about John the Baptist. I am just a voice. I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. And this afternoon, I want to continue to preach to you from the Gospel of John. I'm just a water pot. I'm just a water pot. Okay, let's look there together. John chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. I'm just a water pot. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Let's go ahead and stand together and read these verses. And let's read them responsively, okay? So I'll read verse 1, and then we'll all read verse 2 together. I'll read verse 3, and then you'll read verse 4 together. I'll read 5, you'll read verse 6 together, and so on, okay? Let's begin. John chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Verse 11, The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning, help us to understand the scriptures and be challenged by it. Lord, that we would be water pots for Jesus. Please use us, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. I'm just a water pot. I'm just a water pot. You know what Jesus can do with our lives is absolutely awesome. He can take some old water pots and do something wonderful in and through our lives. Jesus can fill us with the water of life, and he can use us for his glory. Again, we read the passage, verse 6. Notice what it said there, verse number 6. Can you read it with me? And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now that word firkins in verse 6 was actually a measurement. It was meaning that these were just partially filled water pots. They were partially filled water pots. And Jesus then told them in verse 7, he told them to fill them. Notice verse 7. You read it with me out loud, okay? Would you read it with me? Verse 7. Jesus saith... Okay, let's try it again. You read it for me, okay? Verse 7. Jesus saith... Good. When you read together, you read at a kind of at a pace together, okay? Very good. This story, Jesus tells them here in verse 7, I want you to take these water pots, these old water pots, these water pots that weren't being used for the wedding. They were just maybe off to the side somewhere, set aside. Maybe there was, sackcloth and stuff just covering them. They weren't being used. Jesus said, I just want you to take those old, dirty water pots, those ones that weren't being planned to be used or anything, and I want you to fill the water pots with water. This story here in John chapter 2 was the first miracle that Jesus ever performed. Look at verse number 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. So this was the first miracle that He performed. The beginning of miracles. He began to make known His glory. He was beginning to make known His power as God. Look at verse number 1 and 2. It says, "In the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and His disciples to the marriage." Why was Mary at the wedding? You know, perhaps it was because it was some family member that was related to her. We don't know. The Bible doesn't state it clearly, but there was some reason why she was invited to the wedding, maybe a relative of some sort. But the Lord Jesus and His disciples, we read that they also got an invitation. They were invited to the wedding. Now notice verse number 3. "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto Him, They have no wine." Now listen, I'll say this, make this clear. Jesus was not someone who made liquor or alcoholic wine. I don't think Jesus would try to get people drunk. If we read the Bible and read the Old Testament Scriptures, drunkenness was condemned in the Scriptures. It was condemned, and the Old Testament Scriptures, our Bible, like the New Testament, is Bible, and I don't think Jesus would have done something that would have contradicted the Scriptures. I don't think He would have tried to get people drunk. Let's look at just a few verses together. We'll take time to do this. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse number 9. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 9. I'll turn to some of these quickly. Hopefully you can turn there with me quickly and follow along. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations." Now the Bible uses that word wine lots of times in Scriptures, and it really uses it interchangeably. There are times where the word wine is being used, but I really believe that it was just referring to the best of the grape juice. You know, that when it's actually, when people talk about, well, wine's good for you, it's not wine that's good for you. It's not alcohol that's good for you. The grape juice in its purest, best form, that can be very good for a person. That can be good for a person. When a person did use things where it's more becoming to the state of vinegar and so on, sometimes it was to put people out of their pain, put people out of their misery, so they wouldn't feel pain so much. Grape juice in its purest form and so on is what can be good for a person. And I think that's what Jesus would have done in this story. The Scripture commanded here, do not drink wine nor strong drink. Look at a few other references. Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13 and verse number 4. Judges chapter 13 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "Now therefore beware." Beware means, you know, look out. Be aware, be careful. I'm going to warn you about something. Now listen to me. He says, "Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing." Turn over to Proverbs chapter number 20. Proverbs chapter 20. This is not the message today, so I'm not going to focus and dwell on it, but I want to share with you these verses that do warn us about, I believe, alcoholic wine and liquor and drunkenness and so on. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 1 says this, "Wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." It's not wise. You do not want to be deceived by wine and strong drink. It can wreck a person's life. It can wreck other people's lives. It can wreck children's lives. It can wreck many people's lives. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse beginning in verse 29 to verse 32. "Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow?" You know, who is it that has trouble and sorrows and so on in their life? "Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes?" Who is it? "They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. Don't be fooled by it. Don't be deceived by it. It's not so wonderful as the commercials may have us believe. It's not just such a wonderful drink that you've got to drink that in order to have a beautiful girl on your arms. You've got to drink that in order to have some hunk of a man. Or you got to drink that to have a good life or happy life. No, you drink that, you can become a drunkard. You drink that, you can have contention and strife in your home. You drink that, you can have a lot of troubles. It doesn't always bring the good things that advertisers try to make us think. You know, it's going to be some party, some awesome life. No, it can bring trouble. It can bring trouble, and we need to beware. Look over to Isaiah chapter number 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And verse number 11. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 11 says, "Woe unto them, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them." Boy, it's a tragedy when that's a person's life. It's just drunkenness. Just drunkenness. They get up the next morning to do what? To just drink again. And we see people around like that all the time. The one that's daily a drunk, and that's their life. And I've seen them before. Even in our own town, I saw a person different times, and I recognize as a guy who's often just walking around the street, wandering around, always, you know, he doesn't look sober many times. And I saw him, and he got some money from somebody, and he was in at a restaurant just getting his drink. His begging for money wasn't for something good, it was to go get a drink. And sometimes that's what people do. And he just would stumble around and bumble around and have the redness of eyes like the Bible said. And he's not clear in his thinking, and he's just kind of wasting his days and wasting his life. Why? Because he's just become a drunkard, and he's addicted to that alcohol. That's what people's lives are sometimes. The Bible says, beware. Beware. Strong drink and alcohol can be deceitful. It can ruin your life. Woe unto them that let that become their life. Notice Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 7. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse number 7. Amen. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 7. Isaiah 28 and verse 7. "But they also have erred through wine, and through strong drink are out of the way." The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. Boy, that's true. They can err in vision, stumble in judgment. Listen, alcohol will do you no good. You know, Budweiser can put their commercials on. Oh, it's all wonderful. It's awesome. But Bud, you'd be wiser to leave that stuff alone. Amen? Bud, you'd be wiser to leave that stuff alone. Look at Hosea chapter 4 and verse 11, if you can find that one. Hosea, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 11. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 11. The Bible says, "Whoredom and wine and new wine do what? Take away the heart." Take away the heart. You want to have your heart taken away from God? You want to have your heart taken away from those that it should be given to? Well, you just let yourself become someone who's got a problem with alcohol. Okay, whoredom and wine, so it taketh away the heart. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2. A little bit further there, let's see, Zephaniah. Where is it at there? Habakkuk, you can find it in there. It's a little book of the Bible. Amos, Obadiah, where are we at? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Habakkuk, right after Nahum, there it is. Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 15. Habakkuk 2:15. "Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink." That's a reason why biblically as Christians many times we make a decision. I'm not just going to not just drink it for myself. I'm also not going to serve it. So that's why if I did work a job in a restaurant. And when I was a teenager, I worked at Ponderosa Restaurant. And you know what? Sometimes, maybe in taking things to tables, maybe you could have been asked to serve things back in those days. But it was something I told them from the very beginning when I worked there, I wasn't going to serve it. So if there was going to be a table that wanted alcohol served to it, I wasn't going to do it. Somebody else would have to do it. And because it says, "Woe unto them that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness." There's many warnings given in the Scriptures about alcohol. And so I don't think Jesus, in the making of wine, as the verse uses here in English, it was alcohol and strong drink and so on. I would think it was wine in the sense of the purest, best of grape juice that just tasted absolutely wonderful. What was this wedding that Mary was invited to and that Jesus and the disciples were invited to? The wedding was a religious occasion. And these people, listen, they would have known the Scriptures. There would have been no intoxication at this wedding. Jesus would not have served alcohol to others when God's Word pronounces woe against them who do it. The word wine is used many times in Scriptures, sometimes referring to just the best quality of grape juice and sometimes referring to a more alcoholic wine. After the process of fermentation, producing a vinegar-like juice or wine. It's maybe not a great scientific explanation, but that's the best I can come up with, okay? I've never tasted this stuff in my life, and thank God I never will. Never plan to. I'm glad I've never had the taste of it, and so on. And don't ever plan to. Notice verse number 3 again, and back in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 2. And notice verse number 3 with me. "And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine." Now, what was meant by Mary's statement? This was perhaps a poor family that did not have enough refreshments and juice for the wedding guests. You know, obviously the wedding and this reception and so on, the feasting of the wedding day was still going on, and they had run out. Maybe it was a poor family. Maybe they didn't have enough to care for all the guests that day. Maybe that's what it was about. Perhaps her question to Jesus was a suggestion that he perform a miracle and prove her claim that Jesus was truly a virgin-born child. You know, I'm sure there was always some that wondered about Mary. I'm sure there were always some that kind of looked at her with a skeptical eye. Yeah, she says that this baby wasn't her and Joseph's baby, but I don't believe that. Maybe she wanted Jesus to perform a miracle to prove that, you know, he's a special child. That he was a holy child. That he was virgin-born. That he was the Son of God. Maybe Mary saw this as an opportunity to perform a miracle to prove who he was. There's an interesting response by Jesus that comes in verse number 4. Notice that Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Again, mine hour is not yet come. So, you don't need to be putting the pressure on me here. It's not mine hour yet. It's not the time yet. I'm going to show myself. I'm going to prove that I'm the Son of God. I'm going to do these things. But it was an interesting response. Mine hour is not yet come. 3 years later, think about this, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and his mother was standing there watching, Jesus would say, "Woman, behold thy son." There was a time where he'd boldly declare it before everybody. "Behold thy son." At that time, there hanging on the cross was the time when his hour had finally come. The hour had come where he would die on the cross. He'd hang between God and man. And remember that the time how the veil would be rent in twain in the temple. Boy, there would be a time where it would be clearly declared to everybody that he was the Son of God. Remember how the one person looking on said, "Truly, truly, this was the Son of God." Jesus would prove he was who he said he was, by performing a miracle far greater than any other. And that was the miracle of rising up from the grave. The death, the burial, the resurrection would validate that he was deity. He truly was the virgin-born Son of God. The resurrection would be a clear declaration of his power and that his word was true. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 4 tells us this. "And declared to be the Son of God." Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
That would be the greatest miracle that Jesus would ever perform. And that would be a miracle that would validate that He was the Son of God. And that would be a miracle that would prove His power as deity, as God, as the Son of God. So back here in John, the hour was not yet come. There would come a day where in a far greater way, He would prove He was the Son of God. And prove His deity, who He was. Maybe Mary was wanting Him to perform a miracle now to sort of help clear her name, if you will. But Jesus was going to do that a few years later by His death and by His resurrection. You know, it's the resurrection that proves the virgin birth. Jesus was not just an ordinary child, an ordinary man. He was truly the Son of God. Look again with me, if you will, in John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and let's notice verses 5 to 7. John chapter 2, verses 5 to 7. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And there were yet 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Now we get to the point in this story where we see the water pots. We see the water pots. This was a poor family. Maybe these old, partially filled with water pots, maybe they were just pushed back somewhere to the side of the property. They were evidently not being used that day. They were just pushed aside, unused. But Christ now brought His attention to these old, half-filled water pots. Focused His attention on them. Let's continue reading in John chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. And He saith unto them, draw out now. He told them, go take those water pots. I want you to fill them with water. Now He saith unto them, draw out now. And bear, take, carry, bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was. Again, at the end of the verse, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. And saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Listen, Jesus chose those water pots, and Jesus filled them, had them filled with water. Then as they began to ladle out the water, and they began to serve it to the governor, and began to serve it to the guests, serve it to the people there at the wedding, a miracle took place. They filled it with water, and then they ladled it out, and it had been turned into wine. The water had been made wine. Jesus turned that water into the purest, best quality grape juice that these people had ever tasted. Listen, there's a great spiritual lesson for us in this lesson, in these verses. Jesus uses us as water pots today. Jesus uses us as water pots today. Eric, you're just a water pot. You're just a water pot, but you know what? You can be a water pot that Jesus can use. You can be a water pot that Jesus can use. We may be old, worn water pots, not filled, not being used, pushed aside, but Jesus Christ wants to use us. He wants to fill us with the water. He wants to fill us. Listen, He can fill us with the water of life if we're not saved. If we don't have Christ in our hearts, Christ dwelling in us. He wants to fill us with the water of the Word of God. Boy, when we get filled with Christ, when we get filled with the Word of God, what a difference it makes. After He fills us, then what does He want to do? He wants to ladle it out. He wants to serve others with it. Boy, the water that fills us, Christ that fills us, the Word of God that fills us, the Spirit of God filling us, He then wants it to be ladled out to serve others. What was in us, what filled us, can then be ladled out to serve others and to help others and to satisfy the thirst of others and to meet the needs of others. Through the miraculous working of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, through the involvement of Jesus Christ in our lives, listen, we can be filled with the water and then be used to serve others. Through filling our hearts and minds with the Word of God, our lives can touch others, our lives can serve others. And not just something that's old and nasty and doesn't smell so good, but something that is pure, something that is wonderful, something that tastes absolutely awesome. Oh, taste and see that the Lord, He is good.
Listen, and when we get filled with the water, when we get filled with Christ, when we get filled with His Word, when we get filled with the Holy Spirit, boy, then there's something that God can take and just ladle out to serve others and to help others. You know what? We may have nothing much to give others when we're not filled with Christ. But when we get filled with Christ and get filled with His Word and get filled with His Spirit, then we have something. We have nothing on our own, nothing much to give others when we're not filled with His Word. We have nothing much to give others when we're not filled with His Spirit. But oh, when He fills us, and oh, when His Word fills us, and oh, when Jesus fills us, then our lives can be taken and Jesus can ladle it out to others and other people can be served through our lives and they can be helped. And they can have their thirst satisfied. They can be filled. We are just old, unused, empty water pots before we meet Christ. We'll be unused water pots. We may be unused water pots just pushed to the side, not giving any refreshment to the life of others, until we become filled with the water of God's Word. You know what? You won't have anything to give others if you're not filled with something special yourself. We're just old water pots. What am I? I'm just a water pot. What are you? You're just a water pot. Just a water pot. But when Christ gets involved, and when Christ does a miracle in our lives, and when Jesus Christ saves us, and when Jesus Christ fills us, and when Jesus Christ changes us through His Word, what happens then? Christ can use our lives to pour out refreshment to others. Jesus Christ can use our lives and make it into the best tasting thing that others will ever taste. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. People ought to get that from you and me. If we will become water pots filled with Jesus, water pots filled with the Word of God, water pots filled with the Holy Spirit, water pots that Jesus fills, and then it's ladled out to others, it's served out to others. What Jesus Christ can do in a person's life, what Jesus Christ can give, listen, is actually the best thing a person will ever taste. It's far better than anything this world has to offer. It's what Jesus can do in us. Don't you want to be a water pot that Jesus can use? Don't you want to be a water pot that Jesus can fill? Don't you want to be a water pot that Jesus can fill with His Word? Wouldn't you like to just get all filled up with the Word of God so Jesus can use you to share the Word with others? Get filled up with the Holy Spirit of God so that it can be used to refresh others and serve others and help others and influence others? What am I? What are you? I'm just a water pot. I'm just a water pot. What did John the Baptist say in our message this morning? I'm just a voice. I'm just a voice. We can be like John. We can be a voice. What was John? A voice that helped to point others to Jesus. A voice that helped to point others to the Lamb of God. A voice that helped to point others to the Son of God. He was just a voice. He was just a voice. Can we like be like John, who was just a voice? Be like Andrew, who became a voice. And once he got found by Jesus, he went and found his brother, Simon Peter. Be like Philip, who became just a voice. And went and found Nathanael and said, "Hey, I found him. I found him. Come and see." Can you be a voice? Can you be a voice? Can you be a water pot? Boy, this is deep, isn't it? I think any of us can be a voice. And any of us can be a water pot. Let Him fill you. If you're not saved, of course you need to be saved. You need to be filled with Christ. If you are saved, we need to get filled with the Word of God, right? Because we won't have an answer to give. We won't be able to help people. We won't have wisdom to share with others like we need unless we get filled with the Word of God. We won't have what we need to help our family or help others if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, let Him fill you. Let Christ fill you with His Word. Let Christ fill you with Himself. Let Christ fill you with the Holy Spirit. Why? So that when things get ladled out, people don't know. God. Get filled with the water that is the Holy Spirit, so that when it gets ladled out to our family, to our children, to our co-workers, to our neighbors, to others, boy, it's something that they go, wow, that's the best I've ever tasted. That is awesome. Where'd you get that? I want some of that. I want that. I want that water. That's awesome. Give me more of that. That's what we need. We need to be water pots who let Jesus fill us with Himself and His Word and His Spirit so that we've got something. And God can take us as water pots and just ladle then out something to serve others that helps people to know Him and see Him and taste Him and know that, wow, He is good. I'm just a water pot. But He is good. Taste Him. See Him. Can you be a water pot and ask Jesus to fill you with Himself and His Spirit and His Word? So you got something. So God can do something through you. And can you, like we said this morning, can you be a voice? Can you be a voice? Even if it starts as a shy voice or a timid voice or a quiet voice, be a voice. And ask God to help make you a bolder voice and a louder voice and a voice that speaks more often. But be a voice. Be a voice. Help bring others to Jesus. Help tell others about Jesus. Realize God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us to be voices. Help us to be voices. Help us to be water pots. Would you fill us with your Son? Fill us with your Word. Fill us with your Spirit. That others may be able to taste and see the Lord Jesus Christ from our own life as we are ladled out to others, as God uses us and we serve others, we can satisfy the thirst of others. People can know God through us. People can see God through us. People can find wisdom through us. And it won't be our own, but it'll be because Jesus is filling us and His Word is filling us and His Spirit is filling us. Please, Father, help us to be water pots that are filled, that then can give something wonderful to others as you use us. Help us to be voices like John the Baptist. Just voices who will help to point others to the Savior. Voices who will point others to the Messiah, to the Lamb of God, to the Son of God, to Jesus. May we make decisions today to be voices. Make decisions today to be water pots that let you fill us. So there is something in us that when it's served to others, it will be the best tasting thing they've ever experienced.